So again, so Rashi on Avodah Zarah is different than Rashi on other Masechtas, because there's no tradition before him. And Tosfos on Avodah Zarah is different than Tosfos a Posek. Why does Tosfos have to be a Posek on Avodah Zarah? What's the guess based on what we're saying?
Same reason,
in other words?
There's no
halachic tradition. In every other Masechta, right, we have a long halachic tradition of how we go about paskening a shayla. Because I have Tshuvas of the Gaonim. Now there's a few Tshuvas of the Gaonim in Avodah Zarah, but not much. Avodah Zarah was not studied in yeshivas. That does not mean that no one had a Masechta Avodah Zarah, but it means Avodah Zarah was the rough equivalent of Temura. No one learns Temura, right? Well, you should, it's awesome. But no one learns Temura, and no one learned Avodah Zarah at the time of the Rishonim, and they have to make this Masechta into something. Okay, so the first introduction that we are giving is why Avodah Zarah is somewhat different than other Masechtas. Now, how are we going to go about running this class? It seems to me that the best way to do Avodah Zarah is the Gemaras should go relatively quickly. There's a decent amount of Agadot at the beginning. The Gemara is not particularly complicated. I don't expect you to learn every Tosfos. Some of the Tosfos are technical. We'll tell you which Tosfos to learn. If you want to learn every line of a Rishon, I recommend learning the Ritva, not Tosfos. However, one year when I was... At this point, I teach Smicha students in the uptown campus of Yeshiva University. I have to get into this correct way of phrasing it. But when I was teaching in YP, so I told the guys that we're going to learn Gemara, Rashi, and Ritva. The Ritva thinks like a Rishon. He was a Rishon. Ritva died around the year 1310. We don't know when any Rishon was born, because when he was born, he was not the Ritva. He was just a little kid named Yontev, right? He wasn't the Ritva. So when he died, he's the Ritva. He died in 1310. The Ritva is a very clear presentation of Rishonim. I would recommend not necessarily learning every Ritva, but you should learn every Ritva before you learn every Tosfos. We will focus on the Tosfos a lot. And to learn Tosfos and Avodah Zarah properly, you have to compare the text with the best edition of the Tosfos, which is the Tosfos of Rabbeinu Elchanan, that we mentioned a few minutes ago. Now, word from our sponsor. SOY has a sperm sale downstairs. Or, what's it called? The sperm sale has a sperm sale downstairs. It used to be SOY, and then something happened years ago. It became a legal issue, actually. That's why it's no longer an SOY sperm sale. But it's being recorded, so I can't say anything. Now... Whatever. This firm sale mentioned to me that they have access to Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan's on Avodah Zarah. If people want to get them, just tell me how many we should get, and people can get them. They'll bring them here to sell them.
They didn't have a Ritva.
They will be getting Ritvas, they said. That's what they promised me. Again, if people want to tell me if anyone's interested in Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan, if not, one. How many are interested? One, two, yeah, hands. Three are interested. Okay, so maybe I'll try to get four copies, and maybe we should donate one to the Beit Midrash upstairs. That way, people will have it. Not that you'll have to read every Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan. You'll see that some of the Girsos and Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan are, there's like missing lines and stuff, but it is a better edition of the Tosfos than what we have on the printed page, and it's worthwhile just reading it through. Fine. Now, Avodah Zarah that we'll be studying this first semester is Avodah Zarah relating to actual Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is not something that really comes up so much in our world. Although I have to admit, I have some... I'm the rabbi of a shul in Washington Heights. Has a lot of young people who often have disposable income, and they like going on interesting vacations. I actually had to ask Rav Schechter this morning that some two women from my shul want to go to Antarctica, and the shaila is, how do you keep Shabbos in Antarctica? So... I had to ask Rav Schechter this morning, and he says, tell them not to go to Antarctica. So yeah, I tried, but it doesn't work. But so I've had some shilohs of people who went to various Eastern countries where they had real questions of Avodah Zarah. Someone once bought a little elephant with some precious gems in the eyes, and they came home and they like Googled this thing and they realized it's like some Indian avodah zarah. Okay, so real avodah zarah issues do come up in our world, but in the context of avodah zarah, maseches avodah zarah, in the context of the Rishonim, the real issues that come up in avodah zarah is the status of Christianity. And that is an underlying theme. We'll already see in Tosfos on Beis Hamad Aleph, the next time we learn, which will be a week from tonight, because Monday is like a yontif in this country, and maybe I'll try to come on Tuesday, because it's like a long break for a full week, but as of now, the plan is that the next time we'll meet is on Wednesday night, a week from tonight, and you'll see in the Tosfos, like, Christianity is the underlying concern. What's the status of Christianity? Is Christianity avodah zarah or not? So a good way to introduce what we'll be discussing is just the discussion in Rishonim about the status of Christianity. Those of you who have the sources on your computers can look on. If not, we're not going to go through this entire packet, obviously, because there's a lot here. But just to get our... Just to get into it, there are three major shitos harishonim with respect to avodah zarah. The three major shitos are that Christianity is avodah zarah, Christianity isn't avodah zarah, and Christianity is kind of sort of avodah zarah, but not completely. Right? Those are the three shitos. Okay, now you understand everything. Let's go. Who holds that Christianity is unquestionably avodah zarah? The Rambam. Right? Now, some scholars contend that the Rambam didn't really live among Christians, and the Rambam, because he didn't really live among Christians, maybe he didn't know Christianity well, and therefore the Rambam made a mistake about Christianity being avodah zarah. You see, if you'd ask any Christian, right, now I'm not talking about any person on the street, right, you ask a man or a woman on the streets, Christianity, avodah zarah, and they'll say, like, what are you talking about? Avodah what? Like, but if you ask a Christian theologian, do you believe that there is more than one God? Right? The definition of avodah zarah in some ways is that I am worshipping an entity as God that is not God. Now, this definition of avodah zarah I actually got in a book that was written by the grandfather of one of our students, this book. It's called The Rebbe, the Messiah, and the Scandal of Orthodox Indifference. If you want the best brief essays about the definition of avodah zarah, is Dr. Berger, in the back of this book, has two chapters, The Parameters of Avodah Zarah. The next chapter is the Tosfos in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel, a translation and exposition of that Tosfos. But the reality is, you ask any Christian theologian, are there three gods? And they would say, absolutely not, no? They'd say that there's only one God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So they would say, well, it's one. And the Christian translation of the Pasuk, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that all three entities merge and become a single God. And that is their approach. But the Rambam feels that it is avodah zarah, unquestionably. Let's just look at this Perish HaMishnah. This is Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah over there lists the various holidays. Right? The first Mishnah says that you can't do business with the Goyim before their holidays. And the Mishnah then lists what are these holidays. Zok the Rambam. Elo achagim haniskarim hayum before sami ba'osa osman eitzo hanotzim b'hanovim aleihem. Right? If people want, I have a few other copies. If people want to look on hard copies, easier, whatever. But Zok the Rambam, that these festivals were well known by the Notzrim. What are Notzrim? Christians, no? Comes from Natzeret, right? The same place where Elite Chocolate gets its hashgacha from, right? You ever notice that? Okay, whatever. Elite gets its hashgacha from the Rabbanot of Natzeret. Whatever. Fine. V'da. Zok the Rambam. Right? Rambam says that any festival by any nation who serves avodah zarah, also the halacha is that you can't do business with them. V'da. Shezos ha'uma ha'notzris ha'omedes b'tainas ha'moshiach. This Christian nation who believes in Mashiach. No? That's what he says. Again, Mashiach means that we also believe in Mashiach. The difference is that they believe that the Messiah came. We believe that the Messiah is yet to come. Al chilof kitoseha. Who wants to translate those lines, those words? Al chilof kitoseha. Anyone? With its different groups. The Rambam is sophisticated. The Rambam knows that there are different types of Christians. So the argument that the Rambam, right, just didn't know what's going on, I don't think that argument holds. And the Rambam writes, Kulam ovde avodah zara v'idein kulam asurim v'nohagen imohem b'chol ha-Torah k'moshe nohagen im ovde avodah zara. And Sunday is an id, Sunday is one of their festivals, etc. Meaning you can't do business with the goyim Thursday, Friday, and, right, Shabbos. Why? Because Sunday is 3 days before, can't do business, and Sunday is a festival for them. Now, the Rambam's approach that Christianity is unquestionably Avodah Zarah comes about, and the Rambam says this in the Halachos, in Paraktes Halacha Dala, the Rambam writes that Notzrim are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's interesting to know if you have an old Rambam before, like the Frankel, this Rambam might not be in your text. It was taken out because they don't like it, right? So it was censored. And the Rambam Hilchos Macholos Asuros distinguishes between Muslims, Islam, and Christianity. Right? The Rambam feels that Christianity is definitely Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam probably feels that's Avodah Zarah because, in part, the Rambam feels that there's a history of Avodah Zarah. In Perek Aleph of Avodah Zarah, Halakha Aleph, the Rambam tells us in the days of Enosh, people made a tremendous mistake, and they began to worship the sun and the moon, etc., because they said, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these entities some authority, therefore, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to worship these entities. That's what the Rambam begins. Now, what that means, effectively, is for the Rambam, Avodah Zarah began not as a replacement for God, but as an addition to God, no? They believe that there's a God, but they are also saying that God wants us to also worship these things. That is very similar to the concept of shituf, which is that I combine a true God with some other entity. And Zuck the Rambam, Avodah Zarah began that way. Avodah Zarah began with shituf. And the Rambam holds that Christianity, which is shituf, no? They have a true God. But they also have another element. Now, the problem with this... I'll say it like this. If we'd be giving a shiur about Christianity per se, or giving a shiur on Christian topics, we would note that saying that there are three aspects of a borei olam, saying that there are three aspects of God, might not be avodah zarah. You see, if you're a mekubal, I'm assuming no one in this room is a mekubal yet, right?
Yet.
Huh? It takes time. You know, you're still in college. I have to get a degree and then go to Kabbalah school and become a, what would you call a female mekubal, by the way, a mekubelet? It doesn't sound right. We need a term, okay? Now, if you're a Mekubal, you believe that there are different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you say Sfiras HaOmer and you read the fine print, you see different aspects of God. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. No? What does that mean? Right? How is that different than the Christian notion of God? And some Christians would argue that it's not really different, no? But traditionally, Judaism believed, all the Rishonim believed, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah on some level. We'll have to I shouldn't say all the Rishonim is Avodah Zarah, we'll get there in a few minutes. But the dominant position of Rishonim is that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Why is it Avodah Zarah? How is it different than the Mekubalim who believe that they're aspects of God? So the answer is, any of you studied Christianity?
Well,
okay. What's the answer? Anyone want to take a guess? There's something in Christianity called the incarnation. What's the incarnation? Carn is a Latin word, and that means like body. Incarnate means that God took on a body. That body is what we call Yashka Pundra Glipton Dreert, no? That's obvious. Teal, you could ask your grandfather to recite a poem to you that he used to say as a little school kid in Montreal when the French Canadians used to beat him up. Okay. Now. Incarnation sheds light that they believe that God is not really the same type of God that we have. Our God, Zuck the Rambam, is Hashem Echad. And the Rambam holds, and he tells us what the Rambam feels is philosophically obvious, that the Achdus Hashem means that God's unity is not the same as the unity of a group. It's not the same as the unity of an individual. There's only one me, right? But the one me is comprised of different parts. I have a pinky, I have a thumb, I have hair. I used to have more. But right, there is achdus in the sense of we are one, but it's one that's broken down to different parts. For the Rambam, Hashem Echad, right, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he could make everyone a kofer by just asking them to translate that first pasuk in Kriyat Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what does it mean? It doesn't mean God is one. Because one is something that can be broken down into fractions, right? Hashem Echad means God is unique. God El Mitadam Uni El. God is different than anything else. The fact that they believe that their God can take on a physical form shows that there's a complete lack of achdus in the way the Rambam understands achdus. So they don't believe in a plurality of gods. They don't believe that there is more than one God. But their one God lacks what we call unity, what we call Achdus Habore. Now, question. Someone who does not believe in more than one God, but believes in God that does not have Achdus, is that person an Oved Avodah Zarah? Right? That's already a much more fine-tuned chakira than whether one is three or three is one, etc. No? Well, as a kid, I used to watch a show. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called Saturday Night Live. And there used to be someone on Saturday Night Live called Father Guido Sarducci. And Father Guido Sarducci wanted to become a saint. And in order to become a saint, you have to do three miracles. So Father Guido, in one of the episodes of Saturday Night Live, was arguing that he only needed to do one miracle because we all know that three is one. This was his great chap. The fact is that the Rambam holds that if you don't believe in complete Achdus Habore, you don't believe in the complete unity of the Ribono Shel Olam, that means that you are an Oved Avodah Zarah. Good? That's the Shita of the Rambam. The other extreme to the Rambam is, who holds that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah? The Me'iri. When and where did the Me'iri live? What? Me'iri probably is born around 1240-something. He died in 1306. He lived in Provence. Provence is the French Riviera, right? That's the Me'iri. The Me'iri wrote a digest on most Masechtas of Shas. It's a digest in the sense of he quotes lots of different shittos, but he also tells you his opinion. Now, the Balei HaTosfos on Daf Beis and Avodah Zarah, the Tosfos that we're going to spend a lot of time on the next year, I hope, that Tosfos raises a question. One second. The Mishnah tells me I'm not allowed to do business with the Goyim before the holiday. I put mice in b'chol yom frek Tosfos. Right? Tosfos says every single day we do business with the Goyim. Right? We always do business with the Goyim. We live in Europe and there are Goyim everywhere and we're doing business with them. So frek Tosfos, how do we do this? It's against the Mishnah. So Tosfos works very, very hard on this kasha. No? Comes along the Me'iri And then Mi'iri says, I have an answer. Here, look at the underlying parts of the Mi'iri. Basically, here, you know what? I can't point to a specific line, but this entire Mi'iri gets at the idea that there is a concept of umos hagadurim bedarche hadosos. The Mi'iri says that many of the halachos, now when I say many, it's not all the halachos, but many halachos in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Zok the Mi'iri, are about nations that don't have the rule of law. But if you have the rule of law, so therefore it doesn't apply. That's what the Mi'iri says. Now, that is not making a theological statement. That's making a practical statement. Right? The Mi'iri is saying you're allowed to do business with the Goyim because, practically speaking, they're governed by law and they're not going to kill you. Many of the halachos that are because the nations around you are barbaric, that doesn't apply. But then, the Mi'iri goes a step further. The Mi'iri in Horios, it's the bottom of page 2 going over to page 3. The Mi'iri in Horios writes that when we have this idea that minim and apikorsim, that you're allowed to destroy them, you're allowed to hurt them, a miser is like the worst person in Jewish tradition. Now, a miser is a Jew who gives over, right, someone else to the authorities. Bismanenu, we generally paskin like an Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Shechter certainly paskins this way. There's no real iser of Mesira in the democratic government where there's real laws, right? I know that many people say, depending on which from newspaper you read, that, oh, it's Mesira, blah, blah, blah. Right? Mamaisa, most poskim assume that if someone is genuinely guilty, you're allowed to, certainly in a case when there is a clear danger, right? Rahman al-Islam, there's a case of abuse. Right? So, of course, you're allowed to call the authorities, no? But the Mi'iri writes that this halacha of Moser and Minim and Apikorsim includes a Meshumid to Avodah Zarah, a Jew who has a different religion. Udvarim Elo Kulam, Kishadain Shem Yisrael Aleihem. Shekosha Shem Yisrael Olav, Vuhu Mispaker, Machalas Hadas, Unshol Chomor. Ad harbe, mitnesha nasa min, ukamisha ainlo das, ha, komisha yotam in akala gamre, benaso ben das acheres, harehu atlein ukamne osa das. This is an unbelievable Mi'iri. Does anyone want to take a stab at what this Mi'iri means? At the top of page 3, this Mi'iri in Horios. Yeah, one second, I have to get Talia.
Yeah. Basically, people in the Jews, who we kind of push away the most, they're kind of leaving religion and the confines. So if somebody were to leave those and go to another one, then we consider them not like those. If someone leaves Judaism and adopts a new religion,
a real religion,
then they're fine, except for things about Gittin and
except for a few little mistakes that they're making, you know? Gittin and Kedushin, etc. The Mi'iri at the end of this piece here in Gittin says that they're making small mistakes, b'ktzas devarim. That's an unbelievable statement. What the Mi'iri is basically saying is that Christianity is not really Avodah Zarah. No, the Mi'iri is drawing a distinction between Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Christians. Now, again, the question as to whether the Mi'iri really believed this or not is a question that the scholars deal with extensively, but it's hard to imagine the Mi'iri didn't believe this, because the Mi'iri writes it so many times, and he writes it with such conviction. The Mi'iri really holds that if a person leaves Judaism and adopts another religion, that person, he or she, becomes a member of that other religion. No? If it would be Avodah Zarah, that's the definition of a min. You leave a true religion, you go to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the, right? You have to realize how awful Avodah Zarah is. The Torah wants us to think nothing nice about Avodah Zarah. Right? Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg in the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah points out that the Torah's terms Avodah Zarah, the most despicable terms, shaketz to shaktzenu, v'sa'ev to sa'avenu, that means you're supposed to look at Avodah Zarah like, fat, disgusting. Right? That's your approach to Avodah Zarah. The Me'iri is saying Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. If you look, I give a bunch of articles in the back about the status of Christianity. I give an article by Rabbi Bleich. So Rabbi Bleich contends that, yes, the Me'iri believe Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, but that's because Rabbi Bleich always has like a different chap than everybody else. He says, at the time of the Me'iri, at the beginning of the 14th century in Provence, the Christians around him were these heretical Christians who were Unitarian Christians. That they really didn't believe in the Trinity. That's Rabbi Bleich's argument. Dr. Berger says, you know, nice try, but there's zero evidence to that. The fact is, the Me'iri is the one Rishon who is saying something along the lines that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. Now, does that mean Christianity is not Avodah Zarah for Jews? Apparently, yes, also. No? The Me'iri is saying, if I'm a Yid, right, and I go and I become a Christian, okay, so you're part of a Das, and therefore, all of these halachos don't apply. That is a very extreme position. So far, so good? So we have Rambam, Christianity is for sure Avodah Zarah. We have Me'iri, that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. And then we have Tosfos. Did any of you read this Tosfos in Sanhedrin or the parallel Tosfos in Bechoros that I give you? No? Okay. So we can read it now. All right. Gemara tells us, Shmuel, Avu HaDeshmuel. Avu HaDeshmuel, Shmuel's father. Avu HaDeshmuel has a statement that you're not allowed to enter a business partnership with the goy because maybe he'll be chayiv a shavua to you, and that person, that goy, will end up swearing to his Avodah Zarah, to her Avodah Zarah, and the Torah writes, Lo Yisham Al Picha. Right? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel. Lo Yisham Al Picha means you cannot cause them to swear to Avodah Zarah. Okay? Now, let's say you made a partnership with a guy, and now the guy owes you a shavua, right? Now again, this could happen all the time, correct? Think about it, right? You have a business. Well, where are the books? Did we earn the profit? Did we lose money? Oh, well, I swear we lost money. Okay, but you guy, when you swear, it's Avodah Zarah. Am I allowed to accept that shavua? Am I allowed to let him swear? So Tosfos quotes the Rashbam says, you're not allowed to accept a shavua from a guy, no? Omer Avinu Shmuel, kosher ken shavua atzma in lekabo himenu. Can't accept a shavua from a guy. Rabbeinu Tam Omer, mutter lekabo himenu shavua, kodem sheyafsid. Kedo Omer, in the first pack of Maseches Avodah Zarah, milval pen from himenu, nesho kamatsu miyodam. Pardon me, but this Rabbeinu Tam sounds like it's not Orthodox Judaism. What's Rabbeinu Tam saying? Am I going too fast? Should I slow down? What's Rabbeinu Tam saying? Chana, you want to take a stab at it?
Not really.
Okay. Let's see. Who wants to take a stab at this? Michelle, want to take a stab at what Rabbeinu Tam is saying?
No.
You could say no.
All right.
Liat.
It sounds like he's saying that if you're going to lose money, then you should accept the swear.
Okay, so why does that not sound Orthodox?
Our Torah.
It's probably money before religion. Like, Rabbi, you know, I have to work on Shabbos. Why? I'm going to lose money if I don't work. I'm sorry, Orthodox Jews don't do that, right? You're going to lose money. I'm sorry, but, like, you know, we have a religion. So what on earth is the Rabbeinu Tam saying?
That it's just not so serious.
What's not so serious?
Non-Jews swearing.
Okay. The Aveira, if the non-Jew swears falsely, isn't so bad.
Yeah.
That's what you mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But can Rabbeinu Tam prove this? Yeah? Talia?
Well, he's just saying that, like, if we don't really know whether or not Christianity is idolatry, then, like, if you're going to lose money, then why make you lose money because of the suffering?
Whoa. So, first of all, right, if I'm not sure whether Christians have a desire or not, you're jumping ahead, but maybe that could be. But why lose money in Suffolk? Generally, I have a rule that if I'm Suffolk d'Oraisa, I have to be Machmir, right? So, okay, I'm not sure it's Christian. Hello, it's an Isra Avodah Zarah. You have to realize that for Isra Avodah Zarah, you're obligated to give up your life. Right? This is serious business. So what on earth is the Rabbeinu Tam saying? So probably the Pashtus in the Rabbeinu Tam is he's based on a Gemara here in Megillah. No? The Gemara Megillah gives us a whole bunch of Amoraim who said Tasili. Tasili means, you know, I deserve. I'm going to get into Olam Haba because of X, Y, and Z. I have a few good things that I did. Usually these things are Midas Hasidus, no? So anything that's quoted in the Gemara Tasili is presumably not a strict halacha, it's extra, right? A nachepes. Whatever, I can't speak English. If you don't speak Yiddish by the end of the semester, I failed. Right? Now, Tasili that I didn't look at a goy. Tasili that I didn't do shutfis with a goy. That's Megillah Daf Chaf Ches. That means that he's saying, right, I deserve extra reward. Because I'm being super duper frum, no? I'm so frim, or whatever they have in that video, no? You know Dr., what's his name? Dr. Dreizach? Okay, at least one person knows who it is. You don't know what it is, you should watch it, it's really funny. But the Pashtus in the Rabbeinu Tam is that he holds that the Isser of a Goy swearing is not a full-fledged Isser. Okay, so far so good. Right? Probably based on this Gemara Megillah. Again, we could give a few other suggestions, but I think this is enough for the time being. Then Rabbeinu Tam continues. Afagav dehosam safek v'hakavadai. The Gemara that says I shouldn't make a partnership with the Goy, because maybe the Goy will swear to me, that's a safek. But over here, you're actually accepting a Shavuah from the Goy. Hakavadai. Over here, you're actually accepting a Shavuah from the Goy. So how are you allowed to do that? So Zaktaisvis, this is like the key line, Mikomakum, or this and the next two lines are key. Bizman hazeh kulam nishba'im b'kadoshim shalahen ve'ein tosim bahen elohos. Who wants to explain that line? Nishba'im b'kadoshim shalahem or kideshim shalahem. Tehila?
And they're just swearing. They're swearing in there.
What do they consider holy, but they don't attribute godliness to? What?
The Trinity and their saints.
Not the Trinity.
So just their saints.
Saints. Right? When they swear, they have a certain shavua that they take, which the nusach was by the seven holy saints or whatever it is. And when they swear, ain't hofsim b'hen elohos. They don't attribute divinity in their shavua. The af al pi shema shemazkirim imahem shem shamayim v'kavonosim l'davar acher. Even though shema shemazkirim imahem shem shamayim v'kavonosim l'davar acher. Who wants to explain this line? Anyone?
Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. There is English. Look at that. Wow.
So they mention their God with it also.
Okay. In other words, when they swear, I swear to God. But kavanosim l'davar acher. When they say God, what do they mean? They mean Jesus, right? Yashka Pondrik. Right? That's what they mean.
What do you want to actually call?
Me ikar hadin, you're allowed to say Jesus. It's probably better not to say the second part of his name. There was an old minhag not to even say Jesus. But I think for our purposes, the Gemara uses the term Yeshu, which is like a Aramaic-sized, a Hebrew-ized version of Jesus. So even though they say God, and when they say God, they're thinking about Jesus, Mikol Makom Ein Zashem Avodah Zarah, Gan Daitom La'osa Shamayim, Avot Yishemeshatvim Shem Shamayim, B'davah Acher Lo Osh. Lo ashkicha avi shemeshtan shem shemayim davarach lo ashkicha do also ligrom lachem l'shati v'lifnei yiver leko d'bnei nomach lo husaru akach. Okay, so I forgot that I gave you the English. So this was like sort of a dead giveaway. But effectively, what Tosis is saying is that even though they mention the name of a god, but their kavana is osa shemayim, which is our God, our Hashem. And even though they do shituf, they're mishatvim shem shamayim v'davar acher, So here's the key line in Tosis. Lo ashkechan de aser ligrom la'acherim l'shatef. We never found an iser to cause others to do shituf. There are different ways of reading this Tosis. Does anyone want to take a stab at explaining what Tosis is saying, or should I? In the back of this book, Dr. Berg has three ways of understanding the Tosis. It's like written part in Chinese, no? The Tosis is like saying one thing and then he goes back. It's hard to know exactly what Tosis is saying.
Maybe that shitafu is something that's usher for us to do as Jews, but because it was not one of the shemans of Minach, it's not necessarily usher for Christians to
do. Okay, good. Meaning, one way of reading the Tosis is that what Tosis is saying is that shituf, this idea of having more than one God, you have one true God and you also have something else, that, Zaktaisis, is usher for Jews, right? But it is mutter for Goyim. I have not written with Shoah in so long. They don't have, like, whiteboards here?
There's
no. Oh. Okay, so I should bring my markers. Okay. I'm sorry. It's been a very long time. So one approach is that Shituf is permitted for B'nai Noach. That approach, basically, in Lomdis, is that Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, right? Avodah Zarah is an Isser of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach just means that there are seven titles of Isurim that B'nai Noach have. And we have those same Isurim. But for us, they have a different meaning than they have for Goyim. Geneva is Aser Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. But for Jews, the Iser of Geneva is only if I steal a Shava Pruta. For Goyim, even Pachos Mi Shava Pruta is Aser. No? B'nei Noach have a different definition of the Shev Mitzvahs. Dinim. Dinim, according to some Rishonim, means that Jews have to pass in based on Choshen Mishpat. For Goyim, Dinim means that they pass him based on some legal system. Not necessarily Choshen Mishpat. I know the Chuvus HaRam assumes it's Choshen Mishpat, but that's a Chiddush. Right? So one approach in Tosis is that Shituf is permitted for B'nai Noach. Approach two would be...
We can't say that it's permitted for B'nai Israel, so they can marry Megillah. I mean, like, how can what we said before work?
Again?
I mean, it was in a Megillah before, right? Obviously, we're talking about
a Midas. It's a Midas Chasidus not to make a partnership with Goyim.
Right, why? We said before that, right, because...
Well, who said... That case remains a suffix. Who says they'll end up swearing in that case?
So then it's a
speech
data.
What?
So you're saying it's
a speech data. Suffix, right? So, it's a... That Gemara Megillah just says that this Isser of Avuha Deshmu to make a partnership with Goyim is not a hardcore Isser. It's a lighter level Isser. That's what Rabbi Nutam is proving.
Even if it's a lighter level Isser, then you don't get credit, extra credit for doing it. Why would anybody?
So it's a Midas Chassidus. It's like a chumra. That's
if
the
one. Chumra though, then it's halal.
No, it's a chumra. It's like not using an eruv, right? A halacha says that eruv and are kosher. If I don't use eruv, that's a chumra. It's above the bare minimum. I think that's what Rabbi Nutam would say. But the Rabbi Rutam is a stage before when the guy actually swears. If the guy actually swears, is there an Isser of Shituf? So Tosis is saying, right, that, what's his language? Lo ashkan da asr ligram lachem l'shatef. Right, we have no Isser to cause them to do Shituf. So if I do business with them, that's not Isser, because I'm causing them to swear to more than one God, and for B'nai Noach, that might be permitted.
Then it sounds like it is
Aser,
because if it wasn't
Aser
for them, then it wouldn't be
Lifnei Iver. But that is not what Tosis is saying. Lifnei Iver leka, dipnei Noach lo husra. There's no Iser of Lifnei Iver because the Goyim are not commanded. No, they are not commanded on this Iser of Shituf, and therefore I don't violate Lifnei Iver because I'm giving you something that you're allowed to do. Right? Is there an Isser of Lifnei Iver if I am forbidden to do something and you, the person who does the Isser, is permitted? A Kohen sets up a non-Kohen to marry a Grusha. Is that an Isser of Lifnei Iver? Probably not, because the non-coin is no issue with me either, right?
How can you argue it would be?
What?
How can you even argue it would be the thing?
Good question. I mean, in when we learn Lufni Ether, we'll discuss that in great detail, but it's certainly possible to make that argument. One thing that you'll figure out this semester is that anything is possible. But the first approach in Tosis is that Shituf is permitted for B'nai Noach. This, now, that means that there's a dual definition of Avodah Zarah. There's another variation of approach one in the back of Dr. Berger's book. He gives us a different approach that maybe Shituf is not actually permitted for Goyim, but it's a lower level Isser of for Goyim, etc., and therefore I don't have an Isser to cause him to do a lower level Isser. That's already what I call advanced Talmud. Approach two is the approach that the Noda Yehuda says. Approach to is saying that Tosis is not making the statement that Goyim have no prohibition of Shituf, but there is no Isser for them to swear. You see, swearing is not an act of worship. Avodah Zarah means, right, I don't have to introduce you what Avodah Zarah means, but you bow down, you sacrifice, that's Avodah Zarah. You swear. So what are you violating? You're violating an Avera of Ubishmot Yishaveya. You're only supposed to swear to Hashem. It's not technically an Isser of Avodah Zarah. The second approach in Taisvis is that it's limited to Shavua, but we're not taking a stand on whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah at all. Approach one might be saying that Christianity is Avodah Zarah for Jews, but not Avodah Zarah for Goyim. Approach two is saying Christianity is Avodah Zarah, but we're not talking about the worship. We're talking about swearing. Now, it happens, I was talking to someone today in the elevator, and this fellow, I asked him what he did this summer, so he told me that this summer he was working on a manuscript of the Perush of Tosfos on the Rif. Right, if you look in the back of the Gemaras, there's a Rif, no? And in our Gemaras, we have a Rashi on the Rif. Rashi on the Rif is not really Rashi. No, Rashi on the Rif is, as Rabbi Rosenzweig always says, some reputable Rishon, but probably not Rashi. Okay, in some of the manuscripts, there's six manuscripts out there in the Hebrew University that have Rashi on the Rif and Tosis on the Rif. Ooh! And in the manuscript that this guy found, he told me this is what he spent his summer doing. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So I'm like, okay, give me something. So he tells me, oh, well, you know the famous Tosis in Sanhedrin? I'm like, yes, let's speak. So he says, oh, that's also in Samachim. I'm like, oh, I'm going to hear about it tonight. So, he says that Tosis' text there is lo ashkechon de aser legoyim leshatev. Instead of the way we have a Tosis, it's ligrom la'acherim. Instead of ligrom, that version has legoyim, and the word la'acherim probably is thrown in as a way of changing goyim, right, to the other, right? It's lo ashkechon de aser legoyim leshatev. That would be an extreme version, probably along the lines that Goyim don't actually have an Isser of Shituf. Now, there is, if you go through this packet, the question is, should we continue this conversation? I really want to begin like the Masechta. This is like, well, introduction. Continue this. Next time you guys learn, maybe in the Beis Medrash or something, we'll discuss this. But if you go through the packet, you'll see that the Ramah seems to take approach one, that Goyim are not forbidden in Shituf. The Noda Yehuda takes approach two. But when all is said and done, what emerges is as follows. For the Rishonim, Christianity is Avodah Zarah, even for Tosfos. Right? It's only the Me'ili who says Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, and the Me'ili is not really the mainstream Shita here. The Me'ili is, I think the words that Rav Soloveitchik uses, like it's a collector's item. Now, there are Puskim who relied on the Me'ili in cases of great need. Rav Herzog, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Herzog is the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel, no? Because Moran HaRav Kook was the chief rabbi priestate. So Rav Herzog wrote a sefer, it's a brilliant sefer, HaTchukah Yisrael Pi Mishpatei HaTorah. He was trying to write a constitution for the state of Israel according to Torah law. So I'm writing the constitution, and I got a problem. What do I do with the fact that in the Torah it says you have to destroy the Batei Avodah Zarah? You have to burn them down. You have to... What do I do with that? Like, if I'm going to write a constitution for Israel, does that mean we're supposed to burn down all the churches? Like, believe me, this would be really bad PR. You don't want that. What are we going to do? So Rav Herzog argues that this is a tzorech gadol. It's a tremendous need. And therefore, because of the tzorech gadol, to be able to have a Jewish state, api dine Torah, etc., we can rely on the Meiri. But to say that we'll rely on the Meiri to allow an individual to go into a church, or to allow an individual to donate money to a church, it is, pardon the Yiddish, far-fetched. It doesn't really add up, no? It's very, very difficult. Unfortunately, in recent years, this has become a hot-button issue. A Rosh Yeshiva of a different yeshiva published an article after there was some church bombings in Charleston, South Carolina, and he published that there was a shooting, right, in Charleston. This Rosh Yeshiva, different yeshiva, published that we should all donate money to churches. That's very difficult, according to straight halacha. It's very, very difficult to permit donating money to churches. You could go through these makoros. Maybe next time we learn. I want everyone to begin the Tosis on Daf Beis and to look at the Rush. I'll send you the exact Marim Makomis on the email. But the Tosis and the Rush, etc., we'll talk about this first Tosis on Daf Beis is very important. This conversation that we're having now will come up in the Tosis if you know how to read carefully. That the exact status of Christianity will come up in the Tosis, and this is going to be an underlying current in the entire first parak. Okay, Chevra? Any comments, questions, jokes? Okay, Yasha Kara, thank you.